I believe through watching the videos, we'll be able to find somebody of who could be a suspect in this case and go forward.
So many questions and yet not as many answers. You just heard Mayor Thomas Menino, of course, from Boston, talking about being hopeful about getting information from anyone who could lend some help. In fact, they're asking the public to send photos to boston@ic.fbi.gov. And that's where we start the roads leading to the marathon here on this version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. How are you, America? How are you feeling? Shook up, furious, angry, saddened by looking at fellow patriots in a city like Boston torn apart just for going to a run. More details are starting to come out, and yet more victims' names, too, as well. The 8-year-old boy was Martin Richard. His family, his mother, suffered a brain injury, and his sister is missing a leg. His father, Bill, was running in the race. The 8-year-old just wanted a high-five pop when he came through at the end. Give his dad a big hug for finishing the race. And unfortunately, that family is now grappling with all kinds of things. Luckily, they come from a community that's really close-knit, and everybody is reaching out to that family to do whatever they could possibly do. And that was the kind of kid this kid was. He was a helper in the neighborhood. That's the description of him. He was standing at that finish line waiting to greet his father. That's when that explosion tore through that area, killed him and two other people as well. Another person that was identified was a 29-year-old woman, Crystal Marie Campbell was her name. She was a restaurant manager who smiled at a lot of people, helped however she could, and also came from a close-knit neighborhood, had a lot of friends, and in fact went down to the marathon to greet a friend who was running in the race, to cheer them on as they moved through. And there's a sad little sidebar to this story to just tell you, geez, this is a compounded tragedy, because Campbell's father went to find out about his daughter, and he was told by doctors that his daughter was alive and was in surgery. But when he was taken in to see her, probably taking in a breath that, hey, I don't know what condition she's going to be in, but she's alive, it wasn't her. So the police tried to help. There was a detective that was pretty helpful. They did find out what happened, and of course she was one of the people that was killed in that blast, not too far away from the 8-year-old boy, a Chinese national who has not been named, is said to be the third person in that. And, you know, the stories that are coming out of there, there's certainly one thing we can, on a positive note, take out of this, but it's not surprising to me. We're a resilient nation, and there are good people. You have to feel somewhere in your heart when you're furious with humanity that there are wonderful people, because that's what was happening at the marathon. Nobody was abandoning ship. In fact, people were racing to try to get through if they could get through. And the police were blocking people. They were trying to get through to help anyone they could who was laying in the street bleeding. They were picking people up. People were taking shirts off and wrapping tourniquets around folks who were just bleeding and doing anything they could to try to comfort those that were part of the chaos and the carnage in Boston, because that's what it was. They were vigilant and were able to get some people through. Because you have to think, and we've already talked about this, but at the moment when this is going on, there's not scores of ambulances around. There are two that were just helping people with marathon related injuries, nothing of the magnitude of 170 people being hurt in this. What really sums it up to me, with the massive amount of torn limbs hanging by skin and tissue and the kind of things that they were seeing as they showed up at Massachusetts General Hospital with lost legs and other parts of their body. You had two brothers, Paul and J.P. Norden, who each lost a leg at the Boston Marathon. 11-plus people lost limbs in the attack. In fact, now they're saying it's way higher than that. It's really probably 35, maybe just shy of 40 altogether. So three people die, 176 people hurt. We need to get this person or people. We need to get them. Homegrown, lone wolf, Islamic terrorist, whoever it is, we need to get them and get them now for everything that they've done to the people that were there in that city, the native Bostonians and others who came there. Because remember, that's what happens in a marathon, especially our oldest marathon. People live to run in that. They put it on bucket lists. They put it on lists, and they make the plans, they book the hotels, and, you know, they head to Beantown and not expecting that. What's also interesting is, you know, how people have reached out to help, and a lot of people have done that, including some vets who have had their own amputations that they've dealt with. I applaud them, of course, going to help others deal psychologically with the loss of a limb. You know, how do you do that? There's a real peer-to-peer support thing that's happening with these amputees that are showing up in the hospital rooms of these patients who are still in their minds, getting out of surgery, dealing with all of that, and putting their wrapping their minds around what's happening to them now. And I can't say enough kudos to the people that have done that, have driven there, have immediately just thought, how can I help? Not thinking about themselves, just thinking, what is it I can do to help somebody in this situation? I might have lost a leg in Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere else, but I know what it is. I know what it is to go through that, so I'm going to lend my expertise. And speaking of expertise, now it is about the finding out about the explosions, piecing the bomb back together again, since there were so many fragments that were found. That's what the FBI, naturally, that's what they're doing, taking it bit by bit, the nylon bag that was found. It's a pressure cooker. There was a lot of conversation about pressure cookers, and that's what this bomb was. So homemade, kind of crude bomb where you could piece this together from items in your house and running to a Home Depot and finding the things that were needed to make it happen, to pull it off. And that's what this investigation is yielding. This is wide open. It could be anyone because of what they found with the pressure cookers that were put inside black nylon bags or backpacks, and then ultimately showing up right there by the trash can, in the trash can, at the end of the marathon. All right, we've just begun here on America Tonight. Coming up on the flip side, more about American Airlines, which had a glitch of their own, grounding planes and freaking out lots and lots of people. We'll talk about that, plus some of the tweets that went out in the last 2 days. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Across this great nation, in moving the needle, let's hope that it happens sooner rather than later. I think as more time gets away, more of a chance that whoever did this gets away with it, at least temporarily. Two bombs each had tiny nails, smaller than the ones used to hang pictures. So those fine nails, if you know what I'm talking about, they're called brads. And they definitely appears like they were delivered in two duffel bags. That's how they got to the marathon. That's how they were dumped off. So there's a range of possible suspects with this. That's why Robert Mueller, the head of the FBI, is saying, hey, it's wide open. There's a $50,000 reward. The motive, still same thing, wide open, of course. What did they want to do? They wanted to wreak havoc. That was whoever did this. That's what they wanted to do, destroy lives. Is this somebody we know? Is this somebody in your neighborhood? Is it somebody you wouldn't suspect? Is it a coworker? Is it somebody who's living among us? Is it somebody who's on a student visa? Is it somebody who's just a nut? Who's a homegrown lone wolf, I want to join the cause person? Who knows? Was it about April 15th? Was it about Patriots Day? Was it about what? And nobody has claimed this. So you got the FBI running around chasing its tail. You got Homeland Security doing the same thing, publishing a bunch of photos in the bulletin showing the metal that were part of the pressure cooker bombs used in the attack. And they were homemade. They call it homemade Claymore. It's a directional explosive that includes a triggering mechanism using a battery pack and a circuit board. So both of those were actually recovered at the scene. And this is what they say. It's what it is. It's, you know, it can be sophisticated in triggering. It can be something else. and they just keep looking at the pictures and circulating the pictures, and there's just not enough evidence to determine if, in looking at the metal container, if they're, you know, how what we were looking at with the pressure cooker, because one of the bombs definitely had a pressure cooker, and it and with an undetermined charge, they don't know what was connected to that. And, you know, in the meantime, you've got a 29-year-old killed way too young, an 8-year-old ridiculously way too young to have had this happen. And then you have a third victim, who I mentioned was a Chinese national. The family is requesting that she's not identified, so it's a girl, it's a woman, was a student at Boston University. You have the president, who's now coming to the interfaith service that's going to honor these victims of what happened. That's Thursday morning at a cathedral in South Boston. You heard the mayor, Thomas Menino, at the top, and they've set up a centralized fund because they're trying to get donations for the families, specifically targeting the families affected by the tragedy, dump it in, you know, in their direction. It's called the One Fund Boston. There's a website, onefundboston.org. But, you know, with this pressure cooker bombs used all over the place, the bomb giving, I think, off some clues anyway as to who the person is that pulled this off. And like I said, you can't get them down in the dirt fast enough, I'm sure, for many of the people who went through this in Boston, the way I feel, shattering what is, you know, that loss of innocence, really. If you think about it, you go back to when you were a kid. I'll do it for you. When I was a kid, was I thinking we're running around the neighborhood like maniacs, riding our bikes all over the place, playing flashlight tag. You would hear a scream, you know, for my mother to come in and eat supper or whatever, because we're having a blast and we're not worried about it. We're a block over, we're two blocks over, and we certainly went to parades when Philadelphia won the Stanley Cup. We're at a lot of very public events, from the Philadelphia Phillies to the Philadelphia Eagles to other outdoor arenas where there would be thousands of people. Now when you're a parent, you read about the 8-year-old, you see the things that are happening. Wouldn't it be sad if you have to think twice about taking someone, your son, to a ball game for fear that, geez, I don't know, this is a big game, could this be... I mean, I hope that doesn't happen, because we can't live in fear, and we have to live our lives as free Americans. But boy, between watching liberties erode and seeing this kind of stuff happen, it really, really puts you on that path of planting your feet and feeling like, man, I got to do something about this. I have to speak out and I have to say something. And I think the thing to say here is people just have to learn to live in a different world and look around and be as alert as possible. Now, if you're racing in a marathon, you're stretching, you're looking around, sure, you're casing the place, if you will. But how does somebody see in the middle of all that somebody elusively climbing in and dumping off this poison package, a couple of poison packages? I say they don't see it. And that's the other part of this. So naturally, on the heels of all this evidence being sent to the FBI lab and analyzing it and everything else, it's definitely low explosive, probably black powder, smokeless powder. We talked about the other night, had a caller that was mentioning that. And it means that it unleashes energy that travels 3,000 feet per second, basically, when detonated. So it doesn't create a blast wave effect that cause, you know, what it does is it instead, what you'll see, it's massive blast damage. So broken windows, that's what happened there. A low power device, often it's the shrapnel that gets pushed the big distances, kills people yards away. It's from the seat of the blast where the bomb is placed. That's what it's called. And that is something that this kind of a bomb, these pressure cooker bombs, are used all around the world. In fact, and we talked about this, if you think about what happened in Bali in like 2002, we mentioned this as one of the places that saw something similar. This is very similar to what happened there. So the bombing attack has to make us a little bit more aware. There's certainly going to be a clamp down on larger scale kind of public events. I think security is going to really change. But at a time where we are so strapped for cash that local municipalities, man, in your backyard and mine, they're cutting down the police force because they can't afford to pay them in so many cases. I've brought this up a couple of different times, but you have the sheriff in Milwaukee who told people that they should have guns because they weren't going to respond to them fast enough because they didn't have enough officers to dispatch. So, for goodness sake, and with these public events, who's going to be able to beef up the security in areas where they're really, really tight for really, really tight for budget and not being able to stretch that budget any further? I think we all agree that no matter what, this is a heinous, horrific act, and it's terrorism. Now the president, after not saying that the first time around the White House, comes the second time around and says that's what it is, that it's terrorism. There's something about that word that people don't want to use, and I've already said this, it doesn't matter what kind of terrorism you're attaching it to, it's terrorism. It's a cowardly act. It's a heinous, horrible, outrageous thing that happened. And it might be one malcontent, angry person or the work of a group. Who knows? We don't know at this point who carried out the attack. Was it domestic? Was it foreign? Who was it? We're in the early stages of this investigation, but boy, you got to be vigilant and they got to jump all over this. And I think this may also cause people to probably report more suspicious activity for fear of, you know, seeing a similar situation. An envelope is mailed to a senator. What was in that envelope and who was the senator? We're going to talk about it next here on America Tonight.
For those who know the benefits of silver, for those who know the healing history of silver, and for those who want to be prepared, now there's Silver Gauze, a nylon elastic wrap with silver bonded to each individual fiber. Silver Gauze is a long-lasting, washable, and reusable must-have for any emergency kit. Get yours today at silvergauze.com, spelled silver, G-A-U-Z-E.com. Silver Gauze is what your emergency kit is missing.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Imagine waking one morning only to find your family shivering in the dark because you couldn't afford to pay your electric bill. That's closer than you think. You probably haven't heard about this yet because the liberal media has been suppressing what is fast becoming the most shocking news story of 2012. Obama's secret war on coal that could increase your already high power bill as much as 400% in coming months. As shocking as it sounds, it may well be just a matter of time before the lights start going out across America. But here's some good news. There's an underground video at exposed123.com that thousands of smart patriots have used to end their slavery to the corrupt electricity monopoly. The video at exposed123.com has already been banned by Google, and the liberal media is doing everything in its power to take it down and keep America in the dark. So watch it now at exposed123.com before it's too late. Again, that's exposed123.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Boston, a lot of people are reaching out to help the people of Boston, but here's one thing that happened. Sweet Caroline is the song that's played for the Boston Red Sox. It sort of became the adopted song for the team, and they've played it for a long time now. And after that's happened, you know, people identify it with the Boston Red Sox. So in the third inning of the Yankees game, they played that song in honor of the people in Boston. I thought that was a pretty classy move. Because of all the rivalries, I think, as someone who covered sports, the biggest rivalry, and you can talk about a lot of college football rivalries, and there are tons of them, but the Boston Red Sox and the Yankees, man, there is nothing like the hatred between those two fans. But these people realize, I mean, put all that nonsense aside, it's unbelievable what's happened at the marathon. And plus, a lot of New Yorkers certainly make their way to Boston and run in the race, as do Bostonians coming up to New York to run in the New York City Marathon. You can bet the people putting on the New York City Marathon after not having it last year because of Sandy and dealing with all of that are absolutely going to do everything they can, which they already do as much as possible to secure that route so they don't have something similar. There's going to be high alert, I think, for any big gatherings. You know, there was something that also happened, can be completely unrelated, could just be another nut deciding to throw this out there and poison the well of what people are thinking. But a letter that was addressed to Republican Senator Roger Wicker, he's from Mississippi, tested positive for the poison ricin, and it was on two field tests, and and they do another test because they want to make sure it's conclusive, but they say it's part of this ongoing investigation. The Capitol Police are aware of it, and they're looking at it, and ricin is something that there's no antidote for if you were to get the poisoning from that. So they've got this case, and they haven't made an arrest yet. Claire McCaskill, the senator from Missouri, said that the letter never made it there, but it was caught in the screening place because they screen things out before it goes all the way up to the Capitol. It's an off-site area for mail, and that's where they caught this. So now this is definitely of concern, because in the past this has happened before where they've tried to produce ricin and use it in attacks against the United States. Al-Qaeda has done that in the past. The group in Yemen, an Al-Qaeda affiliate in Yemen, was trying to get large quantities of castor beans. That's what you use to produce ricin, so they were after doing that. And Wicker was just happened to be the guy that they targeted in this one, and he's conservative across the board. I mean, he's absolutely conservative, and he of course is backing gun rights and is all 100% on board with his voting record in favor of the Second Amendment rights, rather. And so this is interesting. If you go back in history, and I was thinking about this, when was the last time we heard about ricin in the Capitol? And it was the Senate Majority Leader Bill Friss, where they found that in the Senate office building office of Friss. And then the building and two others had to be closed for a week, and they tested air samples, surface samples. Remember how bad that was? It was awful. So this is serious stuff. And is it connected at all to Boston? You know, who knows? Could be connected to Boston, or maybe not. Just two completely different things timed out. Although if you remember the anthrax scares and remember what happened in 9/11, that also took on a life of its own, because first you have the horrific attack on 9/11, and then right on the heels of that you had all the anthrax that was being mailed all over the place, particularly to Washington, D.C., and now you have this, the ricin. So naturally we're thinking that there is a possibility anyway that the two could be connected. A lot of people are pouring out their thoughts through social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, and it was interesting in looking at some of the Twitter comments. You know, they call them tweets, some of the people that are tweeting, and you can always hook us up, America Tonight, Twitter or Facebook, by going to americatonight.net. But LeBron James says, prayers go out to those involved hurt in the Boston Marathon. WTF is wrong with people, man. Just sad. Then there was, there was one from Matthew Keys, and he says, from Kogo, father, 11-year-old boy injured at the Boston Marathon, wasn't allowed to ride in the ambulance, because there was a big story about that and how he was freaked out, and then identifying the boy ultimately. There was also this one from the CBN channel that said, interview with Boston Marathon participant runner Licia Carpo, who now considers herself lucky, and blessings to all the people who are going through a very tough time right now, and to say the least, it's a tough time. This one from Ninja Roy, who says, and the New Yorker on the meaning of the Boston Marathon, and talks about how important and significant it is. The oldest race is Boston, and then second, of course, people think of the New York City Marathon after that, which would be right in placement. So, and then the London Marathon, they've got a big marathon coming up, and they're saying, listen, our marathon is going on as planned. We are not, we're not going to cowtail to terrorism. And they've been tweeting that out to people, that anybody that was coming to London, please don't stay away. Don't be afraid to join us. And you know, the Wall Street Journal tweeted out, Obama's, on days like this, there are no Republicans or Democrats. We're all Americans united. Pete Cashmore said, man, you close your eyes, you see what's happening here, and it's hard to believe. And so many other Boston natives chimed in, too, from afar, watching what was going on with their city. And, you know, it was like an IED. And many people who went to Afghanistan, we got one here from Tom who said, hey, Kate, I just got back about 6 months ago from my tour, and I can't believe what is coming out of Boston. It is very much like a war zone, what happened there, and sad to see that all those people were unaware and really had no idea they were putting themselves in harm's way simply by going to watch people run or to run the race themselves. Yeah, I mean, just clueless as to that happening, and unfortunately, it was the easiest way. Whoever was trying to do this, they knew what they were doing as far as how many people would be there and how they could get them and how they could easily put this device together, which it looks more and more like it was, you know, just a piece of cake to go and get the stuff that you need for it without raising red flags at all. And that's why this marathon bombing investigation is so wide open. Ollie North, you remember Ollie North, he says that what we're seeing in Boston is a new norm for our nation. You think that's true? Do you think this is the new norm for all of you wide-eyed and bushy-tailed listening to America Tonight? You can throw in your 2 cents either by shooting me an email at americatonight.net or dialing these digits, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Colonel North says that the deadly bombings are that new normal. The bloodthirsty terrorists continuing to plot against the United States. And he says, this is where we are at this point. It's a miracle that it hasn't already happened at least once or twice. And, of course, several people have tried, that we are in an era where we constantly have to be on guard. And that's his warning. That you constantly have to be on guard, and you can't think it's okay, I'm in a place where nobody cares, it's far away, it's not New York City. That doesn't matter. I mean, it is miraculous that only 3 people were killed. That was the casualties, and of course so many others wounded in various states of disarray. But it is a miracle that only 3 people were killed. Hey, coming up on the flip side, we can count. It's all about the numbers.
Life over. Spend more quality time with your family. Take more vacations. Own your own business. Be healthy and earn the kind of income you've always dreamed of. Is it possible? Yes, with Youngevity. First, you've got to see the video that is turning the medical industry upside down. Go to HealthyBody13.com. That's HealthyBody13.com. Watch this video, then pre-register for the Spring Youngevity Convention May 2nd through 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And guess who will be there?
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Glidden. I'm doing the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll see see you at the Longevity Conference in May.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ben Fuchs, and I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I will be there.
Hi, I'm MZ Michael Zwirling, owner of KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and you bet I'll be there.
Take the Healthy Body Challenge, and don't miss the Longevity Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 2nd through 4th. For more information, go to healthybody13.com or call 1-800-360-8695. That's 800-360-8695.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237. 2237.
Here on America Tonight. We can count in a couple of different directions on a few really big stories. Pat Summerall, the voice of football for so many of us growing up, and it wasn't too long ago, actually, that Pat was still doing football with John Madden. It certainly feels like it, but he dies at the age of 82, cardiac arrest. And he was a guy who did 16 Super Bowls. He did the Masters, the U.S. Open, tennis, and so much. He was the voice of CBS for a very, very long time. He started off, one of the last games, obviously, was New England beating St. Louis 2017, and that was in 2002. But they did Super Bowl 12 together, and Madden described Pat Summerall as a treasure and the spirit of the National Football League. He was a well-liked guy. He played 10 seasons in the 50s through 61. It was the New York Giants that he really, really loved. He played for a bunch of other teams, too, as well. And he started doing NFL games for CBS in 1964. 1964. I had the pleasure of spending a little time with Pat Summerall. We worked in the same studio together. I even filled in and did one of the shows that he was doing, and he was just a really interesting guy. Of all the things that he covered, he had so many stories, so many things that he could talk about. There was never a dull moment to be around him. You just wanted to hear his stories, quite frankly. and you didn't want to waste any time telling your stories, so I treasure the few times that I was around him, and we had long conversations about the world of sports, and he just absolutely loved football, but loved sports in general, and felt like he was so, so lucky. The mother of the pro-life movement is also dead, has passed on. Cincinnati Barbara Jean Wilkie was 90 years old. She was really considered to be the founder of pro-life. She was certainly a prominent person in it, and she was the one who co-authored the Handbook of Abortion with her husband, and it came out in 1971. She and her husband, Jack, were married for 65 years. They had 6 kids, 22 grandchildren, and 1 grandchild. And I think which probably the organization that she was known for in the later years, because this was something that came around later, was Faith to Action. And they said they released a statement, said they are mourning her death. They're mourning her death because she was, as I said, really the face of the movement. All right, moving along to something else. This was a strange story out of California. The a young girl wakes up in her bedroom after drinking too much at a sleepover. Her name was Audrey Pott. She looked down and realized that she had been assaulted, and her attackers had written and drawn on parts of her body. So over the next week, she pieced together the details. She went online to confront the 3 boys she had known since junior high and thought they had done it. She saw a group of students huddled around a cell phone, and she realized that there was a photograph of her circulating. So now what's happened is the boys have been arrested in the case. They're charged with sexual battery, dissemination of child pornography, possession of child pornography, and a slew of other things under California law. This is a huge story on the West Coast. And they talked about, the Pott family actually talked about the details of the ordeal. They held a press conference at the beginning of the week in San Jose, and they talked about, you know, what happened and ultimately what they put their daughter was put through, and demanding that the 3 16-year-old boys who were arrested 8 months after the assault be tried as adults. It's probably unlikely under California law, but not completely out of the question. So there's an outcry for that to happen, and there are a lot of people talking about this, talking about the case, talking about what happened here, and then ultimately the video and the images that showed up that proved that there was a link to her and put them in the situation where they are now, and California deciding ultimately what's going to happen here. We've talked a lot about the Boston Marathon and the fact that 3 people were killed, and I've mentioned again and again that the big thing was that it was like being in Afghanistan or a war zone, because so many people lost limbs. Some of the more horrifying photos were the pictures of people with no flesh and their leg being completely blown off and just seeing bone completely exposed. I had a discussion with somebody about this today as to whether or not we sanitize too much of what's actually put out there. And maybe if people saw more pictures like that, that would really strike home that, listen, this is, we're living in different times here, and you need to pay attention. So the FBI, in the meantime, is circulating information about the bombs, which involved kitchen pressure cookers packed with explosives, nails, and other lethal shrapnel. So far, no one has claimed responsibility, you know, whatsoever. 170 people have been injured, but now, by the latest tally that I have, 30 people have lost a leg or some other limb. They lost a part of their body, a lot of them mostly legs. that now they have to live without and learn to walk completely different and change, you know, their way of life. And lots of amputees have made their way already to Boston to try to help them learn how to deal with the loss of a limb. Driving a car costs more than $9,000 a year. Wow, did you know that? According to AAA, that's what they say. They're talking about maintenance and that the price of driving is going to go up in 2013 compared to last year. And depending on the miles on the car, you're looking at, they go by miles, so it jumps up 1.17 cents to 60 cents per mile. If you do the math, that adds up to over $9,000 a year. Woo! $9,000 a year to keep your car on the road. Are you kidding? And then the big thing is the insurance. And how much does the insurance go up? Well, it depends on where you live, depends on your driving record, depends on a whole bunch of things as to what the insurance will be. But $9,000 to keep the car on the road seems pretty steep to me. Maybe it's time to get that bicycle, because you know, you do the double whammy, get to where you're going, and then you get massive exercise as the added benefit of that. So yeah, I'm going to go with the bike scenario if all the other things become too out of reach. Let's put it that way. If they become too out of reach. All right, here's a big fat number for you. American Airlines grounded for 4 hours in some cases, glitches, delays, all kinds of things, because their reservation system wasn't working, and they were saying that they couldn't do it unless it was working. So it was offline by 1 o'clock Eastern and back online after 5 o'clock. They grounded flights at the carrier's request to fix the outage with a reservation and booking tool, which is Sabre. So you can imagine they're not too happy with them. 100,000 people were affected. 100,000 people. Woo! That's a whole lot of time to kill at airports.
It's that time of year again, and with food prices rising, there's never been a better time to take control of your own food supply by planting a backyard garden and growing your own nutritionally dense vegetables. Hi, I'm Brian Brody with Heirloom Solutions here in Thompson, Illinois, with a very special offer for you to kick off the 2013 gardening season. Right now, simply request our beautiful new seed catalog. Pay just $2 to help cover some of the postage costs. When you do, three things are going to happen right away. Number one, within 24 hours, your heirloom seed catalog will be sent. Number two, we're going to deposit $20 in your heirloom solutions account. Number three, you'll also receive three hard-hitting reports valued at $75. Our cash garden report, our food shock report, and our diatomaceous earth report. Go to the website right now, freeheirloomseeds.com. Get $20 in free seeds. Go to freeheirloomseeds.com.